Blog Talk Radio.
There was a time in this fair land when the railroad did not run. Then the wild, majestic mountains stood alone against the sun. Long before the white man and long before the wheel. Then the green, dark forest was too silent to be real. But time has no beginnings and the history has no bounds. As to this burdened country, they came from all around. They sailed upon her waterways and they walked the forest tall. Built the mines, mills, and the factories for the good of us all. And when the young man's fancy was turning to the spring, the railroad men grew restless for to hear the hammers ring. Their minds were overflowing with the visions of their day. And many a fortune lost and won, and many a debt to pay. For they looked in the future, and what did they see? The sun. The stars, they come stealing at the close of the day. Across the wide prairie, our loved ones lie sleeping. Beyond the dark oceans, in a place far away. We are the navvies on the railway, swinging our hammers in the bright blazing sun, living on stew and drinking bad whiskey, bending our backs till the long days are done. We are the navvies who work upon the railway, swinging our hammers in the bright blazing sun, laying down track and building the bridges, bending our backs till the railroad. Up to St. Lawrence, all we do get paid. Swinging our hammers
cannot run. When the wild majestic mountains stood alone against the sun, long before the white man and long before the wheel, when the green dark forest was too silent to be real, when the green dark forest was too silent to be real, and many other dead men too silent to be real.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com. And there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Louie, with Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us early Wednesday morning for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursday, the split between In Our Craft or Selling Art with Rich and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry, and Saturday, split with Gray Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds, bringing you bad company, and exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Daniel. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday, Break on Through with Pam on Friday, sit in with Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint, and then every other Sunday, join Stelina and Arcana as they delve into the darkness. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean.
Well, hello there, Rex, and how are you tonight?
All right, Jean, what's up?
Yeah, I'm good. Well, not too much. Just sitting here and checking out the phone, see who's with us and who's not with us. And right now we have Pam and we have Randy G's on the line too, so that's always nice.
Nice.
To have them both here. And hello, 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 Pam, and hello, Randy.
Hello, hello, hello to all of you.
Hello, everyone.
Yes,
how do?
It's a party. It's officially a party. So this looks like it's going to be a great show tonight, Rex. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think so.
Good props. Shame we had to get them the way we got them, but, you know, hey.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to me. I just keep shaking my head. I keep hearing it rattle. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about – I'm sorry? Loose marbles? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. At least it goes to show I haven't lost them all, but I'm close. why don't you tell us about your prompts and what you have up for us tonight? Good deal?
Yes. All right. We're digging into Gordon Lightfoot and his music. He was born in Oria, Ontario in 1938 and delivered into the scene folk rock and country music done his way. He is credited with helping define a folk pop sound of the 60s and 70s and has been referred to as Canada's greatest songwriter. Lightfoot's biographer once said his name is synonymous with timeless songs about shipwrecks, train wrecks, rivers, highways, lovers, and loneliness. He's a multi-gold and platinum musician, and the Guess Who once recorded a song called Lightfoot for their 1968 album, Wheatfield Soul. The lyrics contain many Lightfoot song titles. Robbie Roberts of the band labeled Gordon as a national treasure, and Bob Dylan's fan said one of his favorite songwriters, Gordon was one of his favorite songwriters, and I can't think of any Gordon song I don't like. Every time I hear a song of his, it's like I wish it would go on forever. Gordon Gordon was featured at the opening ceremonies for the 1988 Olympic Games in Calgary. And his mother saw in him as a child some talent. So she nursed it along so he would be a child performer. And he did start off that way pretty well. As he got his first performance as a fourth grader, where he sung Tu-Ralu Ralura over the broadcast system of school and during a Parents' Day event. And then he won a contest while he was still a soprano. His voice hadn't changed yet, so he won a competition which featured him playing at singing at the Massey Hall in Toronto, a place he would ultimately come back to over and over again more than 170 times. As a teenager, he learned piano and taught himself how to play drums and percussion. And a few years later, he picked up a guitar and taught himself how to play the guitar as well. 58, he moved into Los Angeles to study jazz, composition, and orchestration for 2 years at the Westlake College of Music. He's among his influences in folk music were Pete Seeger, Bob Gibson, Ian and Sylvia Tyson, the Weavers. He lived in Canada for a time, but he missed Toronto and returned there in 1960 and used to play around town. When he was looking for work, he'd play for beers. He did that all throughout high school as well. And, well, he's been featured quite a bit. Let's see, CBC TV's Country Hoedown, playing with Chet Atkins, featured on Chum Radio, appeared at the Mariposa Folk Festival. And, well, that's quite a bit for now. Hey, when you get praise from Bob Dylan about being one of his favorite songwriters and not having a single bad song, you're sitting in some rarefied air as far as talent goes. So Gordon was that.
There you go. You kind of know you hit the big time then, right? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, just so you know, I hunted up that Guess Who song, by the way.
Okay.
Put that on at some point. I don't know if you want to do it now.
Yeah, we're going to have to do the Guess Who one of these things soon.
Yeah. Well, you let me know. I'm not sure when you want to hear it, but I did go hunt it up because I had to. My curiosity.
Oh, no, you've got it. Why don't you put it on? We can get a listen on that and find out how many song titles you have. They actually put in there.
Okay, give me a few seconds. Maybe 3 seconds of this, so I assume it. I would say, you know, some high praise coming from Bob Dylan, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for all of y'all out there who do write for it, hey, if you can record your voices through SoundCloud, whatever, attach them to your phone so when they come to the show, we can actually hear it in your voice and get the full effect of how you wish it to write.
Absolutely. Okay, Rex, I'm ready with this whenever you're ready. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I hit the button. Okay, here goes.
Sidemen come out first, John Stockfish bass guitar. Looks at the world through the eyes of Nashville, the riverboats, and Charlie McCoy. He's just a boy. Lead guitarist Red Shea, who's real.
come a long, long way since Rhythm Rocker Jingle Jangle. And go, Red! Then Lightfoot's Edwardian subtly striped, his hair blondish and poetic, he is less than vinyl perfect. His foot is a precise anchor for the husk and vibrance of his voice.
He is the image of Alberta, a side street near Chicago, the grim beauty of Toronto. He is an artist, he is an artist. He is an artist painting 16 masterpieces of pine and fir and backwoods. Steel echoes long ago, the winter night of Black July, and then the outcome of an early Cleveland rainfall. I sit softly among the rest, waiting there for him to paint his pictures. And as the go-go girl went round and our heads were in a spin, I thought about the crossroads in the early morning rain and Rosanna.
I'm not saying that I'm sorry, I'm just telling you this story. And when Lightfoot's magic falls, you can write it on your walls. That's what walls are for.
He is an artist, he is an artist, he is an artist painting 16 masterpieces of pine and fir and backwoods.
He is an artist, he is an artist, he is an artist painting 16 masterpieces of pine and fir and backwoods. Steel echoes along the golden wings tonight of Black July.
Well, I wouldn't have pegged that for Guess Who, but I've never heard that before. That was written by Bachman, Cummings, and Matheson. So, that's something I haven't come across in all these years. Damn.
Me either.
Never know. Yes. Okay, well, since I set that up, I'll move on to the first song that you have on your list.
Well, actually, the first part came with the opening song.
Figures, and I screwed that up too.
Well, it was a late entry, and I already chose the song.
Okay. So,
that's all right.
I think, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this one.
Okay.
It just sounds like it's the right thing to do. What do you think, Rex? Sounded good, right? Here we go.
Yeah.
This is my way down upon
Wait.
Joy. There was a time. So whenever you're ready.
There was a time Best Forest faced a cast of stars that dark embraced, and nature's stage not yet misplaced. There was a time, there was a time. There was a time clean waters ran to oceans not yet soiled by man. Here nature shared an unspoken span. There was a time, there was a time. There was a time that lovers met within a place past time offset. Numbed nature now is well in debt. There was a time, there was a time. There was a time when no one knew the time would come when we'd pursue a way to fix the tried and true. There was a time, there was a time. End poem.
Gregory Pam, thank you very much. And Randy, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, that was a great read, and this is a really nice poem. I like the way that it flowed throughout from the beginning. You know, there was a time the repeating of that was clever and kind of drew us in and kept our attention. The cast of stars, the dark embrace, and nature stage, and the yes misplaced. You know, all of these, the ocean's not yet soiled by man. Pure nature, shared and unspoiled span. I mean, each stanza stood alone with its own import and power. And I thought it was a very good way down and a very good read by Pam.
Nice. Thank you, Randy. All right, Gene, we're coming to you.
You know, I really like this, right, by Joy. I think she did a fabulous job. I like the format that she used for this, absolutely. And I have to say, you know, her lead into this was perfect, as was her second stanza. I liked each one of the stanzas, though, so. But I do like how she started it off, and those first two really set the whole tone. You know, there was a time vast forests faced, a cast of stars and dark embrace, and nature's stage not yet misplaced. There was a time, there was a time. You know, you kind of look back behind what's going on now and how we've tipped Mother Nature off to a degree where she's showing it back. There was a time before that, and I think it's very well pointed out here. So nice expression of your thoughts here, Joy, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yes, always a joy to read Joy, that's for sure. I thought this had wonderful rhyme and flow. I noticed in her AN that it was mentioned that this, what is it called, the quatrain or the tritrain or something like that, is a moderated or a slight variation of the monotetra form. And that's one of the things with Joy's poetry. I often see her writing forms that I take a look at and I think, you know what, I should give that a try. So I'm always really appreciative of that. You know, I think in any form poem where you have to have a repetitive line, you know, where it has to be exactly the same, you need it to be a strong line that supports the rest of the poem. And this does happen in this piece. You know, there was a time, there was a time. I like that the main theme of this is the idea of the pureness of nature and how it's destroyed by mankind and how we realize and try to fix the problem way too late. I really particularly like I like it all the way through, but it's the second stanza with "there was a time clean waters ran to oceans not yet soiled by man" that really spoke to me. Yeah, you know, so excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, everyone. She did drop this one in for the Canadian Train Trilogy, and it fits that, the sort of traveling across to find out all of what's going on. And she hits on nature throughout all three stanzas, but she's got it a nature stage not yet misplaced to start in the first stanza. The second one, here nature shed an unspoiled span, and then went lowercase for the third one, numbed nature now well in doubt. Nice touch there from starting out strong and then rolling it down the ladder, so to speak. And there was a time that does speak going back in time when things were a lot more difficult in the traveling arena. And yes, it wasn't one of those thoughts where, hey, it only took 10 minutes to go a couple of miles, or maybe 5-6 hours to fly 3,000. If you went 3,000 miles, you were traveling months at a time. And if you had to go from town to town, it might take you a few hours at the least. So this does speak of a different time and era. And I do like the modified monotetra. It's something different. I hadn't seen that before. Nicely done, Joy. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, back to you.
Randy, are you in a hurry tonight?
Not a big hurry.
Okay. Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm going to do one more song and a few poems after that, and then I'll go down to the poem, the song where yours is listed. Okay. Let me do it that way. And next song is Sundown. And here we go. Forget the words when it comes on, right? The way I feel.
Yeah.
Okay, Rex, I'm going to ask you to read this next one, since my understanding that Jenny wrote this from a male perspective. So let me put this up for you, and whenever you are ready.
All right. When Sparks Fly by Jenny the Deep. Loved her first since childhood, waited like a real man would, captured for so long, didn't know where they belonged. felt like a sinner's heart as they were creeping after dark, but never again will they ever part. One warm starry night, one touch, spark flew, meant to be with her, he always knew, willing to sacrifice, meeting at sundown, for her, shot down, you will be found. The heart wants what the heart wants, their love was never sought, but once the spark ignited their flame, more than one nightstand it became. Shame another is after her love, for she knows it's all him also, who she wants, flying away with him tonight to live freely, where they confess their love, that's sin free. End poem. Okay. All right, Pam, let's start with you.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I thought this was an excellent story, right? Speaking on love and betrayal. I particularly like those opening lines. Loved her first since childhood, waited like a real man would, captured for so long, didn't know where they belonged. You know, great lines on feeling like you've met someone, you know, who you're going to be with for life and, you know, really being devoted to them. Of course, that rarely happens in young love that young, but it does happen. And, you know, just a really great write in the idea that she wrote it from the man's perspective. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, so great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Randy, how about you?
Yeah, I feel the same way as Pam, that this is a story poem. And I thought, like she did, that from the very beginning, that first stanza was, I think, pretty relatable to, I think, a lot of people, you know, your first love, your childhood sweetheart, so to speak. Those first four lines speak to that very well. And it goes right on through with felt like a sinner's heart as they were creeping after dark, but never again will they ever part. I mean, you know, you have feelings when you're young that well up inside, and then you're doing things kind of on the edge, but just out of sight of mom and dad and other people. One warm starry night, one touch, sparks flew, meant to be with her, he always knew, willing to sacrifice, meeting at sundown, for her, shot down, who will be found. Yeah, it was it's a very nice poem, flowed very nicely. That was a great read on your part, and I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Thank you, Randy. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought Jenny did a nice job penning this piece. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt, you know, out of the stanzas, you know, which each one was nicely done. I had to grab these two. One warm starry night, one touch, sparks flew. Meant to be with her, he always knew. Willing to sacrifice, meaning at sundown. For her shot down, you will be found. The heart wants what the heart wants. Their love was never sought. But once the spark ignited their flame, more than a one-night stand it became. I just thought it was just well done. It was a tale well told, because it was a story from beginning to end, and it was a nice job by Jenny. So thanks, Jen. Much enjoyed.
Yep, and she ran kind of a parallel path with the original, biting at that note, because she hit on the first ninth line. And they're really nicely done, but it ends up he's the back stairs, so to speak, which is the number lines 8 and 9. Willing to sacrifice, meeting at sundown, for her shot down, you will be found. And then the tale takes a noted twist, because the next one walks into what he wants, but it isn't what really. Magnifies to his delight, and then that last stanza hits on the note of there was another, and that's the one she wants. So it's kind of a biding time in the moment until she found what she wanted, and they took off together and had that happy life together. Well, what he views as a happy life, because it certainly got destroyed in the moment. So nicely done, Jenny. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Jenny.
And I thought I was doing a good job here, and then I realized Dexter hasn't called in yet, and he's in this list. So, Dexter, if you can hear me, your mother bear is calling. Okay, here we go. This is one by Sam Sampson. I'd warned her once by Sam Sampson. I'm going to give it a read. I'd warned her once by Sam Sampson. I saw her with him at the back of the joint. They called him Sundown, and that was the point. He only came out long after it fell dark. I mean, son of a gun, a man with no heart. I warned her once not to take up with him, but he came creeping round, stole my girl on a whim. Looking good in faded jeans, it is really a shame. I can't win for losing when they're playing this game. He let out a sneer as he drew his knife. What did you think, boy? Now she won't be your wife. A flash and a scream. Sure, I'd shot this clown, so we'd never see another sundown. End poem.
Great reading, Jean. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. Start it off.
All right. Yes, definitely a great read. I really enjoy and appreciate Sam Sampson's poetry. He's very talented. These are wonderful rhyming couplets. I like the first person narrative, and I like how this has that classic, you know, cowboy standoff testosterone vibe feel to it. I really particularly thought that, I mean, this is great all the way through, but to me, the personality really came out in the poem. And he let out a sneer as he drew his knife. What do you think, boy? Now she won't be your wife. And a flash and a scream. Sure, I'd shot this clown so he'd never see another sundown. This makes me think as if I have just watched a Clint Eastwood movie. When you read this poem, it feels like a Clint Eastwood movie. It's that cool. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Randy, how about you?
Yeah, I thought it was very clever, cleverly written all the way through. And actually, as it was it was being read, I was thinking, I thought of Rocky Raccoon by the Beatles, him meeting this character like Rocky did. And the lines that Pam read really made me think that too. He let out a sneer as he drew his knife. What do you think now? Think, boy. Now she won't be your wife. Flash and a scream. Sure, I'd shot this clown so he'd never see another sundown. I thought it was cleverly written, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
All right, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what about you?
Randy, that was a clever comparison there with Rocky Raccoon. I didn't even think of anything near that until you started to read something, and I went, I can kind of see where you got that. Clever. But I thought Sam did a great job. I loved how he wrote to the prompt, and I thought it was a wonderful reflection of the lyrics. Great imagery all the way through. His use of couplets, I think, was another good touch to this. It wasn't like all bogged down in one spot, but I'm with the majority here. You know, he let out a sneer as he drew his knife. What do you think, boy? Now she won't be your wife. A flash and a scream. Sure, I'd shot this clown so we'd never see another sundown. Nice ending. Well done. Well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim. Actually, it works well with the note to the tune itself. I saw her with him at the back of the joint. They called him Sundown, and that was the point. I warned him once not to take up with him, but he came creeping around, stole my girl on a whim. So he painted into the tune itself, although it's not rolling as a perfect parody, so to speak, but he rolled out the story within the same framework, which was a nice tone. And going the other round, instead of the idea of him being the loser, Sundown is the loser because he came creeping around those back stairs, and that's not a nice thing to do. So, nicely done, Sam. Thank you very much. All right, Jane.
Okay. I'm sitting here trying to figure out if I should put sexes up or if I should just hold off until
Well, let's wait. He did message and say he was going to call.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And all of a sudden when I started this, I went, darn, sexes was in this block. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to go down here to the block of eight because that makes better sense. I think I can find it. Here we go. Yes, that's the one. God, I'm getting crazier and crazier. Okay. I have to say a word. Okay, this one is if you could read my mind, but let me find it. Right there. Amazing. Okay, here goes this song.
If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind a drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. And you won't read that book again because the just too hard to take. I'd walk away like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way street. Into number two, a movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone. I just can't get it back. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet, the story always ends. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feeling that you have. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong.
just can't get it back.
Nice. You know, he sang in a church choir as a youth, as a kid. It was there, the choir director, teacher, whatever, showed him how to sing, use his voice properly, and have confidence in his voice. And he rolled that through his through the years going forward.
Paid off for him, that's for sure.
Well, back at, well, he credits that that choir teacher as being the one who actually gave him the confidence, plus the wherewithal as teaching him how to properly sing.
That's pretty awesome. It's nice to hear that kind of stuff. Randy was telling me that once a year he does a free concert. Isn't that right, Randy?
Yeah, he did a free concert in Toronto every year for quite a few years. I don't know if he stopped it here lately or not, but I know that for many years he did that.
Yeah. Just, you know, sounds like he appreciated his fans. He appreciated the people who guided him along his way. Yeah, sounds wonderful. Nice person on top of a good musician, a good singer. Okay. For the next magic trick, Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece, and this is called If You Could Read My Mind, Imagine That, by Selena. There you go.
All right. Your name is inscribed within the stain of my tears, for I feel that I've loved you for 1,000 years. Your voice is the music that eases the way to serenity as it colors gray day. If you could read my mind, love, then you would know all the deepest feelings that I dare not show. The smile in your eyes reflects my boundless bliss as the thought of feeling your sweet, tender kiss. Enfolded in the essence of your warm embrace, the rapture as my eyes devour your beloved face. If you could read my mind, love, you would understand how I long to feel the touch of your loving hand. In my dreams, I hear your voice calling out to me, yet I know in my heart that you and I could never be. And my days are filled with if onlys and maybes as I desperately swim through stormy seas. If you could read my mind, love, you would realize the reason for the sorrow behind my eyes. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're going to start with you.
Maybe I'll do it in an open mic. Yep, exactly. tell you, you all make me paranoid. You're looking over my shoulder all the time. It's a good thing, too. I think this was just a lovely write by Selena. I think that she took the meaning of the song and really took it and put it in her own words, and it was a good reflection of that. You know, your name is inscribed within the stain of my tears, for I feel that I've loved you for 1,000 years. Your voice is the music that eases the way to serenity as it colors each bleak gray day. If you could read my mind, love, then you would know all the deepest feelings that I dare not show. You know, it's like if you have, you know, see all those things that I hide inside or kept inside under lock and key, you know. I think it was just really well done. And Selena, as always, you know, it was a great piece, very much. You know, and it's not dark. It's not dark. I like it. I know you don't always say dark. I've read a few of your pieces that are not, but I'm just teasing with you. It's a great job, and I really enjoyed it. So thanks for sharing.
Nice, Jean. Randy, how about you?
Yeah, this is a very nice read, Pam, and a wonderful write here, Selena. I loved it all the way through. It's powerful, but in a very smooth and soothing way. All the lines were very evocative, and I really loved especially the way the beginning two lines and the ending two lines tied together and wrapped it up. Your name is inscribed within the stain of my tears, for I feel that I've loved you for 1,000 years. If you could read my mind, love, you'd realize the reason for the sorrow behind my eyes. I thought that really tied the whole thing together, and it was really a special writing. I really liked it.
Nice. Thank you very much, Eddie. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a beautiful, heartfelt, and emotive write. Wonderful rhyme and flow. It speaks really strongly on the idea of loving someone that you can no longer be with for whatever reason or can never could be with, perhaps. I really thought this was beautiful all the way through, but I especially like the smile in your eyes reflects my boundless bliss at the thought of feeling your sweet, tender kiss enfolded in the essence of your warm embrace. The rapture in my eyes devour your beloved face. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, everyone. This does match up well with the original, but you know what? I like the fact that she dropped the opening line, if you could read my mind, love, then you would know, as the end lines, because it actually punctuates what she hits on with the opening lines. Your name is inscribed with the stain of my tears, but I feel that I loved you for 1,000 years. And then the smile in your eyes reflects my boundless bliss at the thought of feeling your sweet, tender kiss. But to fold that into the back end with, if you could read my mind, love, you would understand how I long to feel the touch of your loving hand. I like the fact that she went that route. It not only ties both this and the song itself together, but offers up a bit deeper emotional tie within it. And a little more heartbreak that goes along. So, nicely done, Stelina. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, for my next one, to be put up, I'm putting up a piece called Mind Unread by Eric Svensson. And I have an audio for that. So here we go.
Mind unread, refute, refire, reboot. Poignant pebbles rippled my placid mind meniscus. Never could rebuke, refute, yes. Quicksilver wit enthralled, light-footed winged Hermes sandals on your feet. Unwittingly trod upon a smitten heart, gin jinxed by Gordon's dry gin. Refute, refire, reboot, moth to candle flame drawn, valiant Excalibur sword intelligence usurped my anvil, heated blacksmith bellows blue sparks, could never rebuke, horseshoe heart just expanded wider, smitten by Eros, psyche scarabs scuttled, gin jinxed by Bloody Marys. Refute, refire, reboot, wishing well begged more pebbles, placid mind meniscus pined for more disturbance, rarefied force of nature. Years later, I still quiver, never could rebuke, Zeus lightning bolt intrusion, gin jinxed by your frozen heart. Minds unread, refute, refire, reboot, rebuke not, bitter, sweet, embrace, chosen, horseshoe hard, needed expansion, valiant Excalibur witted sword whistled away. Light-footed pair of golden winged Hermes sandals alone in your closet? Do you still gin jinx with Gordon's dry chin? End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Pam, you get to let us off, start us off.
All right. Well, I really enjoy and appreciate this one. Eric always has brilliant imagery and metaphors, thought-provoking lines, great humor, and wonderful wordplay. I really like that line, gin jinxed by Gordon's dry gin. You know, first of all, they're using the Gordon's dry gin to give a nod to Gordon Lightfoot was really cool. But the idea, it speaks on that idea of how alcohol makes us make bad choices when it comes to love and persuasions of the, you know, pursuing the you know, a partner. I like refute, refire, reboot, wishing well, begged more pebbles, placid mind, minuscule, pined for more disturbance. You know, it's that idea of looking back on memories of love and heartache and how it hurts so much, but at the same time, you wish you could do it over again. Also, it just kind of speaks in the line, light-footed pair of golden-winged Hermes sandals alone in your closet. I like that because it makes me think that he's addressing a person who was a wandering spirit, who wasn't, you know, ready to settle down. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Randy, how about you?
Well, I agree with everything Pam said, and there were some of those lines that Jen Jink by Gordon's dry gin was very clever, and the line that was there at the end, the light-footed pair of golden, you know, light-footed, I think, you know, speaking to Gordon Lightfoot, as well as the Gordon's dry gin did as well. A lot of clever lines, and quite frankly, there are a lot of lines that Eric uses that leave me feeling like a real babbling. So this stuff is pretty deep, and you know, the valiant Excalibur sword intelligence usurped my anvil. A lot of that stuff escapes me, but he pulls it off very well, and I enjoyed hearing it read.
Excellent. Thank you, Randy. All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, it's got gin in it. What there's more do I need to say? I thought this was an excellent take on the prompt. You know, excuse me, Eric, you know, is notorious for having all these wonderful references throughout his poetry. But this one, he kind of kept it in kind of tight. You know, he had the Gordon's dry gin, which has been said already, and the light-footed pair of golden-winged Hermes sandals. And I liked the way he used that running throughout the poem itself. You know, as for pulling a stanza, I looked at the two center ones because I just kind of thought they were a little bit different, you know. I refute, refire, reboot, moth to candle flame drawn, lion Excalibur sword intelligence usurped my anvil, heated blacksmith below, bellows blue sparks. Wow. Could never rebuke. Horseshoe heart just expanded wider, smitten by errors. Psyche scarab scuttled. Gin Jinx by Bloody Mary. It was just clever all the way through, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his take on the whole thing. You know, the references were the only things that really led back to Gordon Lightfoot, but I'm sure if you read it one more time, because that's the way it is, you'd start to tie in some of the other bits and pieces to the actual prompt. And I like that. Well done, Eric. Great, great audio as always, and clever work. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. There's quite a bit into this, especially because you got that note up top from the title, Mind Unread. So it goes the other way, if you could read my mind, but this one's unread. So that opening, Refute, Refire, Reboot. Along with the tones to Lightfooted and Gordon's were good, but I think that reboot has a double angle meaning into it. Reboot to a Lightfoot, also a reboot, the note to getting back into the mix. Also, it's on that Hermes sandal, the winged Hermes sandals on the beat was a nice touch. Unwittingly trod upon a smitten heart. Gin Jinx by Gordon's Dry Gin. Now, the double there, the gin and the gin. The gin meaning he was feeling like a genie in the moment. Jinxed by Gordon's Dry Gin. So the song has a deeper meaning as well. Then again, keep right back to the refute, refire, reboot. Valiant Excalibur sword, heated blacksmith, bellows, blue sparks. A horseshoe heart expanded wider. Smitten by arrows, psyche, scarab, scuttled. And then again, gin jinxed by Bloody Mary. Again, the genie jinxed by alcohol. The thought with being smitten again. Eros, God of love. And then the psyche, scarab, scuttled. I like that thought. A nice touch of role in alliteration with that. This is deep within a touch of playfulness, plus double entendre thoughts, and rolling into a little bit of a myth and lore with this to play off the angle of just where it is. It could be that third stance, you got gin jinxed by your frozen heart, the thought of being rebuffed, and then right into the back end. Mind unread, refute, refire, reboot, rebuke not. Might be holding the bittersweet embrace at the moment, but he's not willing to give up. Horseshoe heart needed expansion. Valiant Excalibur with its sword whittled away. Like for the pair of golden winged Hermes sandals alone in your closet. Do you still gin jinx with Gordon's Dry Gin? Kind of a reference point to are you still stepping on those smitten hearts, or are those golden sandals put away for good? A nice reference going back in time, so to speak. Well done, Eric. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Yeah. I have Smart Alex in the background. Yeah, I drank your gin.
Did I miss a few things?
Yeah. I got this thing on my messages. It says, yeah, I drank your gin. What of it? See the kind of smart remarks I get in the background around here? Picture of a cat.
Who's pulling that kind of smart ass stuff? Jeez.
I'm getting all kinds
doubling
of stuff.
Doubling up on
man.
The thought that, hey, that could be Gin Genie.
I'm telling
just
you.
Just a little bowie on the side.
I know. It's like something else around here. Okay, Randy, look, I'm going to put your piece up next. And whenever you're ready, it's called Hidden Tales by Randy G.
Okay, this was actually my very first poem on All Poetry 3 years ago, May. And I had just come across All Poetry and started checking things out, and I'd listened to Rex and Luna and Pam, I believe. And so there was this contest, Gordon Lightfoot contest. So this was my first poem on the website. So Hidden Tales. You always wonder about my past, asking questions to see what you can find. But it would really be a whole lot faster if you could read my mind. True serum medicines are hard to get. They're not the kind the drugstores sell. If you could get it, you might be shocked by the results, by the tale my thoughts could tell. Sometimes I think about my life. It's like an old-time movie that I see, but I carefully rearrange the outcome so the hero would be me. What if I could read your mind? You might ask, where is this coming from? And you might feel the pain when you reach the part where the heartaches come. Our lives are like a paperback novel, but we don't want to read the book again. It brings feelings we can't shake. We keep them hidden from all sight, like a ghost that you can't see because the ending's just too hard to take. We could read between the lines, we might understand. It's like pulling memories from a wishing well. I don't know where we went wrong, so let's get real. All these tales are just too hard to tell. End poem.
Great read, Randy. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, let's start with you.
Oh, Jean said she'd be right back.
Oh, then I guess it's you.
All right. Well, first of all, great read, Randy. It was wonderful to hear you bring this one out again. And I think that it's so cool that one of Luna's and Rex's contests inspired your first write on all poetry. I guess for some reason, I never realized that. So very cool. You know, as always, you have great rhyme and flow. I like that this tackles a serious subject, but it does it like, you know, loss of love and heartache and, you know, getting to that point of not understanding each other. But it does it in a kind of a humorous way to me, especially when you have lines like truth serum medicines are hard to get. They're not the kind the drugstores sell. If you could get it, you might be shocked by the results, by the tale my thoughts could tell. I always like to joke around and say I'd have a heck of a lot less friends if people could read my mind. So I'm actually quite thankful that people can't. And another part I really like of this is this one. Our lives are like a paperback novel, but we don't want to read that book again. It brings feelings we can't shake. We keep them hidden from all sight, like the ghost that you can't see because the ending's just too hard to take. It's that thought that you'd like to relive the beautiful parts of a relationship or a friendship, but it also means reliving the pain, and that just can't be handled. So wonderful, wonderful write, and definitely, definitely a well-deserved medal. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Jean, you back yet? Or am I going to roll?
I am. No, I'm back.
There you
I'm
go.
Back. I got back just in time to hear you say, and that's you, Pam. And I laughed and I went, take my gin, will you? Randy, I loved your take on the prompt. I really did. I loved the way you played off different lines of the song. I thought it was really fantastic. Oh, God, I was doing good till I picked on Pam. you know, if you could read my mind, you know, my tale, by the tale my thoughts could tell. You know, and you kind of carried all the way down our lives like a paperback novel. And I liked that. I thought that was good. I mean, I think the lines were completely yours. You know, it's not like you were pulling chunks of the song. I mean, you were taking little bits and creating your own, and I think that really you did a great job with it. So I liked it, and I thought it was a wonderful poem. So thanks for sharing.
Thanks.
I'm glad you joined us.
Thanks,
tonight.
Phil.
Good to hear you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. And Randy, Jean's right, because you did draw off the song by playing off the thought with the wishing well, now I'm going to lose my place. The paperback novel, and there was another bit that the hero, and the old time movie. So you pull those out of the original and to hit on your angle is, I tell you the truth, it walks within that very same flavor and the very same musicality of the original. So this definitely is all yours, and it does walk in that vein of pain where you get back to the down to the back end where you with your I don't know where we went wrong, so let's get real. All these tales are just too hard to tell. Ooh, it's the thought understanding in the moment, hey, we had our time in the sunshine, but parting is best compared to what will happen if we stay together, so to speak. I like it. Nicely done.
Thanks, Rex. Yeah, it was my first go around, and I wanted to, like you said, draw some things out of the song, but yet make it original. So I really enjoyed writing it, and obviously it helped me to stay here on All Poetry and get in the swing of things.
Well,
thank you, guys.
We're glad you did. Have fun with it. And then you stuck around, too. So, you know what? All good things.
You guys were all have all been very inspiring over the years.
Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that, Randy. And it's been really nice to have you be part of the group and, you know, part
Absolutely.
Of the show.
Well, that you got to look at it too. You're not slacking, Randy. So
I love being part of it when I can.
Well,
that's great.
Always happy to have you.
Yes, indeed. Well, yeah, we enjoy having you on the shows with us too, when you can manage it.
Yep. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, honey.
You're
have a great night. Hope to
you
see
too.
You soon.
Talk to you all later.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
Got Randy.
It's always nice when you visit, I have to say.
Yeah.
Okay, Rex, I'm going to give you this next one.
Well,
if you could read my
threat.
I know, it's me. You know, it's rough around here. It's a hard side of town over here, you know. and if you could read my mind, the same. This is called If You Could Read My Mind by Swimmer of Seeds, whenever you're ready.
If You Could Read My Mind by Swimmer of Seeds. If you could read my mind, loves, what a shame your thoughts would yell, just like an old-time groovy about a coast of a fishing hell, in a dazzle spark or a furnace long with flames upon my sheet. You know that coast is me, and I will ever be let free as long as I'm a coast that you can't see. If I could heed your mind, love, what a sale your thoughts would sell, just like a paperback novel, the type the drugstore sells. When you reach the heart where the heartaches come, then zero would be me, but zeros often fail, and I won't heed that look again because the sending's just too hard to make. I talk away like Moody Carr, who gets turned in a three-way ripped mentor, number who? A moody scene to get me clean of wringing all the good things out of me. But for now, love, it's surreal. I never thought you could act this way, and I've got to say that I must get it. I don't know where she went wrong, but the kneeling gone, and I must get it. Flack. Anton, I think I might have changed a couple of words there that could have been read the way that they were put. My mistake. I'm sorry about that, Swimmer.
I think this poor poet was a victim of autocorrect.
Maybe. It could be.
Well,
some of that is possible. Yeah.
Well, it could be, or it's actually meant to go that route.
He really meant to get the flack?
Well, that depends, you know.
Oh, yeah, you never know.
Because you know what flack is? It's what you get when you're being shot down. It's called flack.
Ah, okay.
Ooh. I don't know, Rex, but I think you should have sung it.
Well, I think the back end of this would have confused the hell out of me. But, yes, the opening with this was a perfect role. That if you could read my mind, love, what a shame your thoughts would yell. Just like an old rhyme groovy about a coach of a fishing hell. So, yes, he rolled into it very damn well. And I enjoyed that, the opening in this. It was perfect. All right, Pam, come on. What you got?
All right. Besides Smart Aleck comments about autocorrect, let's see, what did I have?
Or stealing Jim.
You know, I like the emotion in this piece. And I like how the first lines, you know, especially after Gene pointed it out and you saying it, does really fit well with the original song. I have to say, I really like what a sale your thoughts would sell. Trust like a paperback hovel, the type the drugstore sells. Or store, not sure. But I like how those lines speak on the idea of, yeah, I'm not buying this anymore. I'm not buying your lies. I'm not buying what you're, you know, selling. So just scoot along. I also really like a moody scene to get me clean. I think that, to me, that speaks on the idea of listening, like how oftentimes you just want the comfort of the familiar when it comes to heartbreak and love, and you want to listen to, like, a favorite music or hang out at a favorite spot. You know, with the use of the word scene, I'd have to say either watching a favorite movie or TV show or going to a favorite bar. A moody scene seems like something that you'd find at a jazz club. Excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean. What about you?
You know, I'm trying to, like, I thought it was a clever piece penned. And syllabically, I got that, syllabically. He did follow the tune of the song, that I thought was clever. Because when you were reading it, it's like rolling through my head. I'm like, yeah, that one works. Yeah, that one works. And that's the way I brain it. But I thought it was clever. Intriguing lines throughout. You know, here and there I get a little lost a bit. But, you know, I mean, hobble through me. But it was a good attempt at it. And the parody itself, as I said, to go along with the tune, this like was pretty good on the money like that, and clever. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Swimmer of Seas. And, yeah, hope to see you again someday. Be good.
Absolutely. I'll ring in on your notes for that and for my thoughts on it's kind of, I go with this as almost a split, because when you get down to that line, trust like a paperback hobble, that's the type the drugstore sells. When you teach the heart where the heartaches come, then zero would be me, but zeros often sell. I thought the drugstore sells. Now, there's the note to where things go wrong, so to speak. And then everything from then on down gets a little bit more, because he hits on, I'll talk away like a moody car who gets turned into freeway ripped venter number who. So it even goes a little bit deeper on the back angle of the drugstore. So, and then a moody scene to get me clean, a wringing all the good things out of me. That kind of hits on back on the idea of the drugstore itself. But for now, love, it's surreal, because everything seems to be tumultuous. And then I never thought you could act this way, and I've got to say that I must just get it. I don't show where she went wrong, but the kneeling gone, and I must just get it flack. But I think the back end of this is on that note of the drugstore itself, where it had the whole fleeting first half of this on point, yet still kept the same point musically on the back end, but it seemed to be falling apart on itself because he'd taken that wrong turn. Now, I like this. It was very different and quite the piece, because it did ring quite well to the song itself. So wonderfully done there, Swimmer. Thank you very much. Appreciate this. All right, Jean.
Okay, dokie. Well, the next piece I have to put up is a piece
called If You Could Read My Mind Now by Sapphire
Rose. Yeah, we had a lot of those.
Yes, yes, yes. So we sure did. There were, I think, what was there, 8 of them? Clever stuff.
Yes. Boy, boy, the turns they've taken, too. They've been illuminated.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this one's by Sapphire Rose, and I do have an audio for this one, so let me hit the button.
If you could read my mind now. Years drift in the morning breeze. And the sun warms memory script. You were the ghost that haunted me every time I laid my head to rest. And time's hourglass shatters with each reflective thought. What is the cost of the ghost that time forgot? If I could read the tales of a love that lost its way, could fate have cast its shadow and paused time for a day? You are that ghost that will forever walk through the maze of our storied past. And if you could read my mind now, you'd know that I've set myself free. For your ghost, I no longer see. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you. I'm excellent, Betty. Great read, Sapphire. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Yeah. Dummy. Pam, why don't you kick us off since I just put my foot in my mouth?
Well, you know what? They do both have very similar voices, beautiful reading voices. So I can see it. But, yes, I'll be happy to comment. This is wonderful. You know, there are certain poems that even though they don't rhyme, they have a flow and a meter that works so well. And I see this in Sapphire's couplets that she's written here. I think this is a powerful, heartfelt, and emotive write. I like how it speaks on the loss of love, the loss of a relationship. And there's strong lines all the way through. But I really particularly like how this one this poem speaks on the idea of giving yourself permission to move forward. I really like, could fate have cast its shadow and paused time for a day? You know, if only things could have been different. And if you could read my mind now, you know that I've set myself free. For your ghost, I no longer see. I think those are wonderful lines, like I said, and the whole idea of saying, you know what, I am a free person, I can move forward, and I don't have to stay stuck in the past. So, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I have to say, I really like this right by Sapphire Rose. I thought it was a great take on the prompt itself. You kind of have to think of one while you read the other in order to pull it together. So it definitely is a standalone. It doesn't require that music to make it work. But years drift in the morning breeze and the sun warms memory script. You were the ghost that haunted me every time I laid my head to rest. And time's hourglass shatters with each reflective thought. What is the cost of the ghost that time forgot? I think that it's really well done. It's really well put together. And I enjoyed what she had to say in it because it was full of a lot of emotion, I believe, is what I got. You have to kind of, I don't know. I guess I read the background of it a little bit more because I'm familiar with a lot of other works by Sapphire. But very well done. And you know, as I said, a great take on that prompt. So nice job, Sapphire Rose, and thanks for letting us use it tonight. Well done.
Absolutely. And she followed out on the thought with the rhythm and the rhyme of the song itself. She delivers it. If I could read the tales of a love that lost its way, could fate have cast its shadow and pause time for a day. So, and plus the opening end of it. So she rolled into the rhythm of the song itself and played out the thought of death and how it affects people and what they would do to deny its presence, even though it still sits there, and how it affects one in the moment. So, well done, Sapphire. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're coming back up to you.
Oh, my goodness. Let me see if I have anything loaded. Nope, nothing loaded. Okay, let me go grab one. Sometimes I load things ahead of time.
Okay. I'm being threatened again.
Uh-oh, who's threatening me this time?
I'm going to write a song and make Rex sing it. Well, in that case, I've got a couple on the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. So there, Selena. Aha.
There you go.
And I actually did a pretty good job with that one. Both ones.
Well, there you go. Okay, Pam, I have the next one up for you. It's called Mind Reading by L.G. Mace. And whenever you want.
Okie dokie, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. If we could have read each other's minds, love, oh, and what different directions we'd eventually go, the same story script for a while, those feelings that we'd share, that we'd both come to know. And I would have been your heroine, as you would have been my hero in a storybook that ended so well. But you found an other in a three-way script like a torn page in a nightmare story that put us both through heartache's hell. If we could have read each other's minds, love, oh, what a different tale our hearts would have come to know. Like a fallen hero shackled with regret because of me. Like a sad, sad ending in a not forever love story movie show. And I would wander through those times with a broken heart, wondering where we had failed, where I had gone so wrong. And when I look back on our once joyous memories, would the ghost of our past be there looking back at me like an overplayed story warped like an in sometime heartbreak song? Am I heartbroken and locked up to never again feel the love we'd shared? Watching you carry on with your new love, wondering if you were truly real, wondering if we were nothing more than actors, did you ever truly care? And if we could have read each other's minds, love, oh, what a different love we could have known. But destiny decreed that love was never ours to keep. So though separating sorrow we drift. So through separating sorrow, we drifted through shadows shown, causing us questioning tears, perhaps forever to weep. If we could have read each other's minds, love, oh, how we could have taken love's different track. But now those feelings are gone forever, love. And in our minds and hearts, love, we both know they're all gone and they're not ever coming back. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, you get first start.
This is a clever piece by LG. I like how she started off with, if we could have read each other's minds, love. Oh, in what different directions we'd eventually go. You know, she just took that one line and created this and with all different things. And it's true, because if we can read each other's minds or could read each other's minds or knew what was going to happen ahead of time, we could just kind of take a whole different path. Maybe not necessarily not have any parts of what went on or what have you, but we'd have been more cautious and more wary, maybe, and been able to enjoy things a little bit more. So I think that's clever that she went that route. And I liked how down here, like I'm looking, there's so many words for me to sit and try and pull through, to pull anything out. But I know down here at the end when it says,
if we could have read each other's minds, love, or how we could have taken love's different track. But now those feelings are gone forever, love, and in our minds and hearts, love, we both know they're all gone and they're not ever coming back. That's it pretty much sums it up, I think, you know. The in-between stuff is things that had happened and what have you, but the whole truth of the matter is right there in that first couple lines and in this tail end piece here. It just kind of puts it in perspective. And I think that's what I like about that chunk of lines. It just does a different way about it. So great job, LG, and thanks for sharing. Nice take on that prompt. Well done.
Absolutely. Another one that ran through the same pick little tidbits out of play with as well, the hero offering up here the heroine, and then running a three-way script like a torn page with a reference point to the movie script. So I like that. And the thought of, would the ghost of our past be there looking back at me? Next question. Like an overplayed story, walked like in a sometime heartbreak song. Again, the question. You can't really know. You can only offer up the questions, never knowing the answers, because with that sort of mind reading, and if you could read my mind literally, so to speak, there would be that notice. Ooh, what things might you find in there, and what things might you not enjoy finding in there? Would be the operative question that most would think of, but still, there is that note. If we had been on the same page, so to speak, mentally, things might have worked out a little bit differently, because you'd understand the notes being played between the two. So, nicely done, LG. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okay, Rex, I'm going to come to you, I think. I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing this the right order or not anymore.
I know.
This is called If You Can Read My Mind by Myriad Dark. So whenever you're ready.
If You Can Read My Mind by Myriad Dark. If you can read my mind, what would it reveal? Would you walk a while on my shows just to see how it feels? But what about those persistent memories that beckon and cajole? Would that make a difference to all those things beyond our control? And how would that affect body and soul? What if I can do the same to you? Would it turn out any different as well? Just like the secrets we keep to ourselves, the ones we promised we'd never tell. It's rather funny how the conversations rehearsed that we go over and over in our heads have such different outcomes in real life that we forget the best lines we made up instead. Oh, that's injustice we have to face with such dread. So we play these games like a movie script, act one and scene is set. Exit stage right, the director calls, and all the lines rehearsed you forget. It's another rap for another day, and as the lights fade, you walk away. But each to their own, so they say, it's a fool who thinks he has it all sewn up. Better to cut my losses and go not stay when love has gone astray is the deepest cut. If you can read my mind, tell me what I'm truly thinking. If you can see what I see, you might find all those moments like chains unlinking. There is more to it than meets the eye. It all depends on your point of view. There are hidden meanings between the lines. Understanding them is harder to do. We should tread carefully every time, especially when walking in each other's shoes. Who would have thought it would turn out this way? It's all the more confusing because of it. We walk a very fine line where it might go wrong. Who is the victim and who is the culprit? I wish I really knew. Is it me or you? And poem. All right, Pam. You get to start. Well,
first of all, great read there, Rex. This is a absolutely wonderful, wonderful write. I like that you first started singing it, and then I was disappointed to find out it wasn't a parody. But this is a wonderful rite that I think speaks on the importance of really, you know, paying attention to each other and communicating with each other. And also I like how it speaks on the idea of the end of a relationship and realizing that you can't blame just one person. I really particularly like the line, so we play these games like a movie script, act one in the scene is set, exit stage right, the director calls, and all the lines rehearsed you forget. It's another wrap for another day, and as the lights fade, you walk away. It's like speaking on the end of a relationship where people are only playing the part they think the other person wants them to play, and eventually it's not enough, and they end up walking away. I really thought there were wonderful heartfelt lines and great imagery, and this was very well done.
All right. Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean, what about you?
You know, I thought this was a great piece by Myriad Dark. I liked how he led into the piece. If you could read my mind, what would it reveal? Would you walk a mile in my shoes just to see how it will feel? But what about those persistent memories that beckon and cajole? Would that make a difference to all those things beyond our control? And how would that affect body and soul? And, you know, I carried it down into the second stanza. I'm not going to read it because they're a little long. But I think that it was just really well done. I thought it was a great take on the prompt and a clever reflection of it, because, you know, you hear the song, you know, and you think about the words, and then what you do is you put it out there in a different light, you know, and you mirror that image to how it affects you or phases you or how you view it, you know, in the real world. And I think that was well done here. So excellent job, and thanks for sharing, Myriad. Really appreciate it.
Nice. Thank you, guys. Actually, I could see this rolling through as part of the song itself, but you'd have to be spot on with the angle and the definition going from line to line. It does open up with that thought, but I looked and said, oh, yeah, I'm not going to be able to manage that properly because I'm not in the right frame for it at the moment, but I can see it working well with the tune itself. But you got to be very specific with each line and each proper word that you got to define in the moment, and I couldn't do that. So, but this was actually quite the point. The opening, if you could read my mind, what would it reveal? Would you walk a mile in my shoes just to see how it would feel? Perspective. But what about those persistent memories that beckon and cajole? Would that make a difference to all those things beyond our control? And how would that affect body and soul? Again, notes to perspective. And then the thought. So he's offering up that note angle to start with, if you can. And then the thought going to second is the reverse note, offering up to, what if I can do the same to you? Would it turn out indifferent as well? Just like the secrets we keep to ourselves, the ones we promise we'd never tell. It's rather funny how the conversations rehearsed that we go over and over in our heads have such a different outcomes in real life that we forget the best lines we made up instead. Oh, that seems just we have to face with such dread. Yeah, you always think of the great lines you've got on tap, but all of a sudden in the moment they're at a loss. They just disappear. And then the thought, now we go from the one side to the other side. Now it's the two together. So we play these games like a movie script. Act one and the scene is set. Exit stage right, the director calls, and all the lines rehearsed you forget. It's another wrap for another day. As the lights fade, you walk away. This is a well-done piece there, Myriad. Thank you very much. Damn.
Well,
turning out to be a hell of an evening.
Amen. Amen. The next piece I'm going to put up is the last piece for If You Could Read My Mind. So So this one is called Jorkel Lightfoot by Paul Brock.
Yeah, you know, I like this one.
Well, I'm going to try and give it a read, so here we go. Jorkel Lightfoot by Paul Brock. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Much like a vapor-lacked Jorkel, cleaning portholes in a time capsule. I never thought I'd react this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where I went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back. I should have given this to you, Rex. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like some Hallows Eve movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark, a fortress strong, the chains upon my feet, their portholes have been cleaned. I don't know where I went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back. End poem. I should have given that to you. Dang it.
I said you were going to enjoy this one. All right, Pam, you get to kick it.
Oh, this is great. I really, and wonderful read there, Gene. You know, I really enjoy Paul Brock's sense of humor. And his little gray alien dude that he uses for his all poetry picture is just awesome. This is just clever lines, a fun take on the prompt. I love how it, in a humorous way, it speaks on the, you know, how love can drive us crazy. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Much like a vapor-lacked Jorkel cleaning portholes in a time capsule. Oh, man. And then what else? I mean, there's just so many great lines all the way through. But I have to say the vapor-lacked Jorkel is definitely my favorite line. So very well done.
Oh, my goodness.
And, Dean, you got to read. How about you?
You know, it could have been read really, sung very well. Clever exchange of words here to make it something completely different. I mean, there's enough of the original words, but the ones he swapped out and changed over and everything, I think just made it. I was like cracking up inside, going, "Yep, okay, great rhyme there. Yeah, that was good. Great line. You know, I thought he did a fine job with it." And he made it into something completely different. So well done, Paul, and thanks so much for sharing. Thanks for the smile and the chuckle, that's for sure. Great job.
Well, the funny thing is, Jorkel Lightfoot, and the fact the pic actually looks like Gordon Lightfoot later in life was a nice touch as well. But the humor in this is right up. Spot on, along with the angle playing to the song itself is imperative. It is funny and it's well done. That about a ghost from a wishing well, in a castle dark, a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet, their portholes have been cleaned. Well, the portholes, there's a kind of note to that. The portholes, are those portholes, the potty holes in the ground? Well, yeah, not too sure, because you hit on that angle of vapor-lacked Jorkel. Yeah, it must be aromatic in there. Not a nice place to be, but still. A funny piece, Paul. Thank you very much.
The next song I'm going to play Cobwebs and Dust. Sounds like my
really?
House.
Why? Sorry, I thought
Why?
I was on mute. I just thought I would get an opportunity to read my poem. So
sorry,
that's all. Never mind. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I'll do that. Let me just find it. I kind of went back up to the top. Okay.
Now you're a genie.
Yeah. Well, the next song I'm going to play is the Edmund Fitzgerald. So here we go.
legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know ya." The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. And later that night when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the words turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have drove deep and took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan seems like a young man's dream. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. And the iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. In a musty old hall in Detroit they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church church bell chimes if it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. And the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gets up for dead when the gales of November come early.
Do you know the Edmund Fitzgerald went down November 10th, 1975. He actually recorded this song at, by the end of December that same year. It was released almost a year to the date of the sinking in 1976.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Well, it must have rung a note because looking at November 10th to the end, you're looking at just 4 weeks, 5 weeks, putting down the words and then recording and then doing spending the time getting all the extra music in to punctuate the song itself, the editing.
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely not a quick, you know, jot down song. It would have taken some time and work for sure.
All right, Jean, we're on to you. Uh-oh. Jean, you fall asleep?
Uh-oh.
No, I had myself muted.
Yep.
Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready, here's your piece.
Okey-dokey.
Thank
you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is The Ghost of Old Holmes and Turquoise Storms. There are ghosts beneath the waters and violence in the storm. Nature is indifferent and cruel. History is spoken with pale lips of the dead man walking. There are scars within the mountains and ghosts within the trees. A past that haunts the land, fractures in humanity. Hard-working, hard-drinking, hard-loving men and women of the great wide north, where waves rise on windy nights and passing trains make old homes vibrate. The whiskey doesn't need to taste good. It just needs to warm the blood and numb the pain to a turquoise glow. The ringing of steel, striking steel, sends sparks flying into the air, and spirits are speaking in whispers while the wolves howl to a full moon. Pine trees have stories to tell to anyone who will listen. Cleared paths and fallen wood nymphs where once barefoot lovers walked hand in hand. Water copulates with the sky to breed the briny horizon, and the earth is shape-shifting to meet the needs of modern society. Throughout time and woven into history, life and death are interchangeable. In the blink of an eye, we disappear to become dust. There is blood beneath the water and blood upon the tracks. Crimson floods paint a verdant land in melancholy prose. In tragic events, there are two types of people remembered, the heroes and the cowards. But in a land of railways and big waters, the Grim Reaper plays no favorites, and we all forget the faded names on tombstones, crumbled and sinking. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you think?
I think this was an excellent write, Pam. You know, wonderful imagery throughout. I shouldn't say wonderful. Not wonderful as in pleasant imagery, but imagery. You know, the bones of it. It's like saying that a dark write is, oh, that's such a nice write. Well, you know, not really. Not supposed to be. But I think that it was just a great imagery and a tale was well told. I have to say, I like the last three stanzas of it. You know, I probably should have gone up further, but I'm like, wow, you know, I just keep grabbing them all. But there's blood beneath the water and blood upon the tracks. Crimson floods paint a verdant land in melody prose, melancholy prose. Good Lord. And tragic events, there are two types of people, remember, the heroes and the cowards. But in the land of railways and big waters, the Grim Reaper plays no favorites, and we all forget the faded names of on tombstones crumbled and sink. So great job with that, and really, really well put together. Nice take on the prompt.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nice, Jean. Thank you. All right, the bite in this early is the early days, ghosts beneath the waters, and violence in the storm, the dead man walking. Nice. But scars within the mountains, and then the hard-working, hard-drinking, hard-loving men and women of the great white north. So you're hitting on that, the idea of the early travelers inside. And then you hit on, what is it, ringing of steel striking steel, sent sparks flying in the air, the laying down of railroad tracks, and spirits are speaking in whispers while the wolves howl for the full moon. Note to indigenous angles run there. Pine trees have stories to tell. I like that because you need the pine trees and the pine tar resin that you get from the trees themselves. Clear paths and fallen wood nymphs, the once barefoot lovers walk hand in hand. Again, the note of how things get born, things get torn down, removed or bought apart in order to move society forward. And then you hit on the modern society on the back there, last few stanzas, where don't know the history. And that's their own fault for not actually digging into the nuance of history itself. I mean, this song is all about it, what happened on that November night in 1975. And there's plenty more coming off the railroads, how they were built, how they were laid, and the race to make that connection from coast to coast, and how it changed everything because it made small towns into huge hubs, which grew from there because of where they sat within in the landmarks, close to rivers, where you could get both the shipping coming in and then to spread out across the country. So nicely done, because it does hit on the idea of that which most people do not know, a touch of history.
Thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, we're at the back end of things, so don't worry. We're going to do part two next Sunday. We'll finish off the Gordon Lightfoot angle, so we've got plenty of rights to do that. Thank you, everyone, for this one. Jean, great show. Pam, thank you. Randy, thank you for stopping in to read and comment. And Sapphire, Selena, and Elliot for the boards, thank you very much. And we'll continue with Gordon Lightfoot on next Sunday. And the next show after that is going to be on the Smith. That contest is up, so have a bit of fun with that too. And we'll see you all next week.
Great show, Rex. Great prompts. And this is a good show. Lots of fun. Great poetry.
Yes. Quite the...
Oh, my God. I'm breathing. Rex? Hello?